There we go.
God is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's almost nobody here.
Well, I think I'm somebody.
I said almost nobody.
We're praise two or three.
Yeah, that's right. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I've been hearing that about there was three people that were supposed to die first, whatever it was. Brother Hagin, I think Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. But that's a very strange prediction that a great revival can't happen until you're dead.
It is.
Isn't that strange?
It is.
I mean, you're one of the most famous evangelists in the world, but you got to die before revival can come. What is that? Are you kidding me? I mean, what is that? I would hate to think that I was holding up a great move of God that God couldn't move until I was dead. What in the world? You know, I don't know about all that stuff. I just don't know about that. You got to die before God can move. I don't know about that. I ain't so sure about all that, brother. I don't think I would feel that good if somebody said, you know, God wants to do a great work, but he can't do it while Monty Horton is still alive. I don't believe I'd feel too good about that. But I don't know, but I hope nobody ever says that.
Well, maybe it's just a time piece.
I don't know.
That was judgment, though, with Methuselah.
That was judgment. You see, with Methuselah, that was judgment. And I have heard it that way. Now, I don't know what in the world I didn't hear anybody actually say this. I've heard it second hand, third hand, and all that. But I have heard it about judgment, that God was not going to send judgment until these three people were dead. So judgment and revival is two different things, but...
Well, if we think about it that way, that left the people a time period to get on the ark.
Yeah, that's true.
A few days to get on the ark before.
Well, except the problem is that 7 days before the flood came, Noah and his family went into the ark, and God shut the door, and no man could open it. So nobody could get into it, nor out of it. Now, so they were locked into the ark for 7 days before the flood came, before it began to rain. But there was no opportunity for God to for anybody to get in the ark, because God had shut the door, and Noah couldn't have opened it if he wanted to. But then of course, you know, I'm not sure, you know, if they're mourning Methuselah. Well, that isn't in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Now, it may be some Jewish legend or something, but it's not in the Bible. The rabbis may say that. But, you know, if they were mourning Methuselah during that 7 days, they were mourning in the ark, because that's where they were. They were shut into the ark for 7 days and couldn't get out, nor could anybody get in for 7 days. Before it began to rain. Now, I've always thought that there is something very symbolic and peculiar about that 7 day period during which they were in the ark. Nobody could get saved. No. It was too late. They were history, man. They were toast. Everybody was toast. No way anybody could be saved. They were done for. But there were 7 days before it actually began to rain. And Jesus said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes. And we got into this. Of course, Mary's not here today, so we just talk about whatever we want to talk about.
She don't mind.
She don't. But anyway, I've always thought we assume that the moment the rapture takes place, that the great tribulation is going to begin. In other words, that the prophetic clock will begin to run the moment that the rapture takes place. Mm-hmm. But what if that is not true? What if there is a time period between the rapture, a few years maybe, between the rapture and when the clock actually begins to run? The 7 years, the final 7 years. So in other words, the rapture might take place 20 years before the second coming. So you would have 13 years or so when there's nothing going on. Nothing. No church. There's no church here. Church is gone. The Jews are not saved. It would be just about like the situation with Noah and his people. They're in the ark. And there's absolutely nothing happening. It's not raining. And nobody can get saved. Judgment is not fallen yet. But yet nobody can get saved. So after the church goes, it is conceivable. And that would help us with the idea that there is a, you know, there is no, there, that the rapture is imminent. You know, we it's hard to say the rapture is imminent if you have to have everything in place before it can happen. In other words, you know, we have to have a temple and all of this stuff has to be in place before the rapture can occur, because you can only have 7 years. What if you don't? What if you can have more than 7 years? Then the rapture could take place today, and then it could be another 10, 15 years maybe, when there's absolutely nothing going on the earth. I mean, nothing. God's not doing anything, basically.
Satan is behind the scenes.
Well, God is not. God doesn't have a plan, a program on the earth at that time, really. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the church.
He set all that stuff ready for what the.
Yeah, so he doesn't. The church right now is his program. Mm-hmm. When the church is gone, then and the tribulation begins. Then he begins to deal with the Jews again. But what if there is a time period in between, where nothing is happening, where neither one is happening? And it would be something like what was going on in the days of Noah. There was a 7 year period where it was completely dead space. It was dead time. Dead time. There was nothing happening. The ark was built. There was no building going on. Nobody could get into it. Nobody could get out of it. But there was, and it wasn't raining.
Mm-hmm. The great deep broke up first.
Well, that hadn't happened either. So you had a time where you had 7 days where there was absolutely nothing happening. Now, you know, so now you can imagine that what the people would have been saying. You know, Noah says it's going to rain. He says it's going to be a great flood. Noah's gone into the ark. And this is the second day. This is the third day. This is the fourth day. This is the fifth day. We ain't seen no rain. We ain't seen no flood. You can imagine what they would be saying. All the mockers and the scoffers would be coming out of the woodwork. You can imagine what they would be saying. You know, Noah was crazy. It's never going to happen. We knew it was never going to happen. And now we see it's not happening. Well, after 7 days, then it all broke loose. So, there is a possibility. And we always need to consider that, you know, God might have a surprise or two in store for us. And we may not know everything, but there is a possibility, it seems to me, that there may be a dead space after the rapture, but between the beginning of the running of the clock. There is a possibility. I sort of doubt it, but there is that possibility, and we need to be always aware that, yes, the rapture could occur before we see things in place that, you know, we know have to be in place, because It may take a few years, and so what? Anyway, but yeah, that's all interesting.
It does say, in verse 10, it says, and after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon them. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth.
Yeah, that's right. After 7 days. Mm-hmm. So Noah and his people went into the ark, and it said the Lord shut him in. It says Jehovah shut him in. And then it said, after 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So there was a time, there was a 7 day period when there was absolutely nothing going on.
Would you think the flood waters could represent the Holy Spirit? Waters are kind of reflective of the Holy Spirit scriptures. You think that, with them projecting this great revival,
Well, except that the waters of the flood were destructive and deadly. And of course it was judgment. The Holy Spirit revival is not judgment, it's salvation.
Yes, amen.
It's saving grace. It's not destroying. I don't know. We'll have to see, but I've always thought those were really, 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 really strange predictions about those three guys. Brother Hagin and...
You got to die for something. They heard that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Brother... If I'm Billy Graham and I'm hearing it, I got to die before God can move on the earth, I'm thinking, well, what am I still doing here, Why am I still here? So if that was the prediction, and I don't know if that was the prediction or not, because I've heard it the other way.
Yeah.
But if that was the prediction, that I would be very troubled if I was a great evangelist and I thought, well, my goodness, I got to die before God can do what I've been trying to get done all this time, all of my life. I've been trying to get the great move of God going, and now I find out I got to die first. I can't do it. It's not going to happen
millions
until I die.
Millions of people were saved in his life.
Yeah. That's true.
But if people's watching like his funeral, they see just his life presented before them and what he's did for
us. That's
what
revival all about us.
And, they'd let those big, great multitudes just saved by watching.
Well, let's see what effect that it has on American society. Let's see if we actually, if we see a revival in American society. Let's see if we stop killing babies. Let's see if we stop promoting fornication of all sort. Let's see if we can stop doing that. That's the evidence of a revival. The evidence of a revival is if you turn from your wicked ways and you do what is right.
Yeah.
And let's see if that happens.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical, very skeptical, that that's going to happen. But let's see if it does. So we heard last Sunday somebody say that there have been, since Roe v. Wade, there have been 60 million children, there have been 60 million babies have been slaughtered.
That's why we need workers. Why don't we just quit having abortions? If we need workers,
yeah,
for this nation.
That's right.
Which I don't believe. I think we got plenty of people here that can work.
That's true. But 60 million children since 1973. That's a whole nation.
Yep.
That is a nation.
A
pretty big nation.
Yep.
That's right.
And they want justice.
Of young people. Young people. Those would be 44 years old, 45 at the most. Vigorous, prime of their life. Young people, strong, intelligent.
And Social Security is probably, I like it, but I don't think it's a godly principle. But anyway, I use it. But we wouldn't have to be concerned about that because they'd have all those people working for us.
Well, that's right. That's true. I mean, you know, right now we're so top heavy. There's nobody down below to support the Social Security. That, you know, and as all of us get older and there's fewer people down in working age, everything is just all messed up. It's just all messed up. Everything is just so messed up.
No, people are not getting into my field. And you go to a machine shop, everybody look like it's about time for them to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. And there's nobody 20 years old in that work. Everybody's about 45 and up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It used to be people so eager to do that.
Machinists.
Yeah.
It's a dying trade. People not going to school for it. And now they're starting to give people signing bonuses to finish school and come.
Wow.
It's bad. And mechanics are not much better.
Yeah.
And I can't see how you can base an economy on people with all these jobs. I think, well, how in the world could they make such big salaries? They ain't doing nothing. It don't make sense. I'm a something. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do exactly? People aren't really making anything. They're not making anything. They're not creating anything. It's all just paper.
Exactly.
It's all just paper.
It's a big lie from Satan.
It is. It's just a big puff of wind is all it is.
And when that fails, woo.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, Brother Mike talking about these end times. That's something I've kind of wrestled with, comprehending in my mind. You know, the Bible talks about a great falling away and things growing worse and worse. And then yet again, it talks about, you know, revival. You know, you already hear about the great, you know, end time revival. And it just, you know, where do you put all that from different, you know, you know what I'm saying? You ever think about it from both directions?
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Yes. You know, I read a good book the other day. Little Monty gave me a good book, and I really, it really opened my eyes to some things. The title of the book was something like Sovereignty versus Evangelism. And the idea was that if God is sovereign, what good does it do to evangelize anybody? Because if you're predestined, you know, it doesn't do any good to evangelize you because you're predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost, one or the other, so evangelism is worthless. So it was talking about, you know, so what we were talking about was basically what it boils down to is to free will versus predestination. We see them both in the Bible. Free will and predestination, they're both in the Bible. You can take one side or the other and you can cite scriptures all day long to support both. But this guy said, yes, they're both in the Bible and they're equally true. And this is the part that humans cannot understand. He used light for an example. It has been proven that light is both a wave and a particle.
We just had that this morning.
Really? It is both a wave and a particle.
Ray did it.
Well, that's it. So and they're equally they're nobody can understand how this can possibly be because they're mutually exclusive, mm-hmm. as far as we can tell. But they both exist. Yeah. It's true in both cases, although we can't understand how in the world that could possibly be. But it's true nevertheless. It is a wave and it is a particle. There's not and so what you got is what you they call it an antinomy. It is something it is two ideas that are mutually exclusive but equally true. In other words, as far as we can tell, they both cannot be true, but yet they both are true. Now we can't figure out how they both are true, but that is the case. So they both are true. Now here, and I'm convinced that there are a number of these antinomies in the Bible. You have that one, you have free will versus predestination, you have grace and works.
Yes.
Grace and works.
Yeah.
Now they are both equally true,
yeah.
but they are mutually exclusive.
Uh-huh.
once saved, always saved, and not once saved, always saved. They're both true. Mm-hmm. Equally true. Mm-hmm. But mutually exclusive. Yep. And there are other things in the Bible as well. I think you just mentioned one. I can't remember what it was that you said just a minute. What was the last thing you said? You remember what the last thing you said was about?
A great falling away.
That's right. Exactly. The falling away and the great revival. How can they possibly both be going on at the same time? I believe we may be dealing with another antinomy in the Bible. They are both equally true, but they're mutually exclusive. I don't understand it. You can have both, a falling away and a great revival. And I think you can preach both things. You can preach one Sunday and the other one the next Sunday. Or you can preach one for 15 minutes, then preach the other one for 15 minutes. And it sounds like you're just contradicting yourself, but you're really not, because they're both in the Bible.
I think you just hit the nail on the head.
They're both in the Bible, and we can't understand it.
That's why you trust God.
That's why you have to trust the Lord, because only God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And there are some things that we just aren't smart enough to be able to figure out.
Exactly.
In Ecclesiastes, it says in one place that God has set one against the other, that man should find nothing after him. Mm-hmm. So we have set one thing against another, so that they cancel one another out, so that man finds nothing after he's gone. Now that's interesting, because that's basically what an antinomy does. You can't. Now most people will take one side or the other, and they'll base their lives on it. For example, I hope to God that once saved, always saved is true. Because I know people that I have people that I love have been saved and spoke with tongues. And now God only knows what kind of condition they are. God knows where they are. God only knows where they are. And I hope to God that that is true. That is once saved, always saved. But I want to live like it isn't.
Right.
I want to live like it is not true. Well, I hope with everything in me that it is absolutely true. I want it to be true, but I want to live like it's not true. So you got, you know, and these things are in the Bible, and the more I think about it, it's not just one. We don't just have one antinomy in the Bible. We have a number of them. Just like you said, I've wrestled with this for decades. How can you know, the Bible says he's going to present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's in Ephesians, praise the Lord, by the way. We're in Ephesians. I'm in Ephesians.
Yes.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish, and so on and so forth. And then in Thessalonians it says, you know, there's going to be a great falling away. And in Timothy he says, you know, in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, and all this and that and the other. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Which seems to indicate that there's a good chance he won't. Mm-hmm. So you got both sides here, both sides of a coin. Mm-hmm. Yet it's still one coin. You've got both sides. You've got two sides of a coin. You got heads and tails. Yet it makes one coin. And I don't understand it. I do not understand it. And only when we get to heaven, when we get our, you know, we then when we are known as even as we are, then when we know even as we are known. In other words, we'll know these things. We'll understand these things. Right now, no human being can really understand and comprehend how in the world sovereignty and free will can exist at the same time. You've got it. It would seem that it has to be one way or the other. How that you could have free will, how that you could have once saved, always saved. It's either got to be that or not. How that you've got, it's either grace or works, one or the other. Works, if works are any good, then what good? Then you know, grace doesn't do it all. If grace is all there is, then works are worthless. They're useless. It doesn't do any good. Some people are teaching that these days. Doesn't do any good. If you teach it that way, you don't have any sowing or reaping. Sowing and reaping is no good. It doesn't do you any good to sow and reap. But you've got absolutely, you've got all of these concepts in there. Grace is in there. And sowing and reaping is in there. You can't get them out. Yet we can't necessarily understand them. But there it is. So it's a complicated book. And I sort of kind of cringe every time I hear people say that, you know, oh, it's so simple. Well, it may be simple to you, but it's not all that simple. If you just think about it a little bit, it's not all that simple.
He's trying to save a complicated generation.
Yeah. I think it's simple because the salvation message is simple. It's what they mean.
Well, even that's not simple because, again, you know.
You don't have to sit and preach and preach.
No, that's true. But, you know, you have to. What are you going to preach to them? You going to preach once saved, always saved? Or not? You know, so it's not simple. It's not simple. I just beg to differ with you. It's not simple. You got to decide. Are you going to preach once saved, always saved, like a lot of churches do? Or are you going to preach like the Pentecostals do, you know, you better watch your step?
But when I got saved, that wasn't an issue. I was just presented the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's an issue the next day.
Well, it's not when you're saved.
It's an issue the very next day.
Methodist church.
Because the next day when you confront sin, then it's an issue. Now, once you go to the altar, you give your heart to Jesus, that's great. But then you get up, you go back to the, you go out the door, and smack, you run into a great big hairy devil. So then what are you going to do? Then what happens?
But did you know the doctrine of being once saved, always saved? I was blessed.
Absolutely. And you can't, you can't.
I never heard once saved, always saved until I went to the Baptist church.
Well,
and I never heard about it.
And I'll tell you something, and I'll tell you this, that nobody, there ain't nobody on this planet can preach salvation like Southern Baptists.
Amen.
They can't, nobody can hold a candle to Southern Baptists when it comes to preaching salvation. But they do preach and believe with all their hearts, once saved, always saved.
I was saved with the Methodist evangelist.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
No, I don't. Yeah.
I'm talking about old Methodist.
The old time Methodist.
Yeah, which actually eventually became Open Door Church.
Yeah.
With a lot of the people there.
But it does become an issue right away. As soon as you try to walk your salvation, as soon as you try to work out your salvation, then you get into, well, what happens, you know? What happens if I sin?
So that never bothered me, even when I was backslidden and didn't know what you called it.
Sin didn't bother you?
Yes, sin bothered
okay.
me. That's different. I'm talking about the doctrine. I never felt like...
Well, the doctrine has to affect your walk.
If you've taught that doctrine. Yeah. But where I grew up as a child, I wasn't taught that doctrine. And nobody ever came against tongues. Nobody ever did that, so there was no...
That doctrine hung over you whether you knew it or not.
I didn't know it.
You may not have known it, but it was hanging over your head the whole time. It didn't. You can't get away from it because you have to deal with... You have to deal with what the consequences of not, you know, of sin. You have to deal with it one way or the other. Whether you talk about it or not, it is always there. What are the consequences?
That you could lose your salvation, and never was taught you were permanently kept with yours. It was just a relationship with God, and I didn't, you know, after I got older, I didn't go to church.
So you just never even thought about it.
Never even thought about it. Because my mind's not like yours. Until I heard it when I was 30-something years old in the Baptist church about once saved, always saved, and then I heard over here when I was going to Church of God, well, if you cross the road wrong.
That's right.
So
That's right. Look, and they're both right.
Yes, but so
they're both right.
I was right, right in the middle.
They're both right. It's an antinomy, and I can't figure it out.
Evidently, that's why I knew it was okay, because it was both right.
Do you think
it's never bothered me?
In the mind of God, though, in His ultimate wisdom,
amen.
One of these days, when His children stand forward, and maybe one chose this path, I mean, then
yeah.
He can justify
yeah.
them by saying,
yeah.
once saved, always saved. And the other group that, you know, they did everything, they
yes,
run
right.
their race as hard as they could.
Yeah.
They,
yes.
And he can say, you know, well done, you know.
Yeah.
And people won't, they give it all they got instead of just, well, I'm
yeah.
going to go over here on the easy road.
And, yeah. I don't know how God's going to work this out. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's too deep for me, and that's one reason why. I don't talk about once saved. I don't teach it. I don't preach it. I don't discuss it. I don't talk about it anymore. I won't do it. I won't talk about predestination and some of these antinomies. I just won't deal with, because I know they're there, and we could talk about it from now on and never get anywhere. And so it's a total waste of time to talk about it, and I'm not going
to
do it.
And like the man that. Got his servant, and one says that he meant the faith of God, and another version says he meant the faith of the town.